98.7. It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
We're back. It's game week. Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined in the Sports Talk 97.7 studio by our producer, John Tabor. I'm flying solo again tonight. Beck Haynes out on work assignment. Not Bleed Tech Blue work assignment. But he's out. I'm here. Like I said, it's game week. It feels like it's been a long, long time before the Dawgs took the field. Obviously, you finished the regular season with two consecutive losses to two programs in Southern Miss and Western Kentucky that you should have beat. It makes the wait that much longer before we get the opportunity to see the Bulldogs. And they'll suit up for one final time in 2018, Saturday night, in the Hawaii Bowl, taking on the Hawaii Warriors. 9:30 p.m. kickoff, ESPN. I think Pam Ward's got the call. If that doesn't bring you in, Tabes, I don't know what will. Let's turn the volume down and listen to
Turn
Dave.
Up the voice.
Yeah, turn up the voice of the Bulldogs, Dave Nitz. Big show tonight. Big show tonight. We're brought to you by First National Bank. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin, and El Dorado. Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue in Ruston and Jonesboro, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas. What to get to first? I think, you know, before the show, Tabes and I were talking about, you know, it's not baseball season, obviously, but came out today. Collegiate Baseball Newspaper has the Diamond Dawgs ranked in the top 50. No, things didn't exactly finish how Lane Burrows and his staff would have liked at the end of 2018, last May, down in Biloxi at the Conference USA Tournament, but a nice preseason honor for them. Like I said, preseason Collegiate Baseball Newspaper has them in the top 50. Certainly some big things expected on the diamond. We won't be on the air, obviously, for the next 2 weeks when you look at the Christmas holiday next Tuesday and then New Year's Day the following Tuesday, but we will work to get Coach Burrows on the show before the season gets underway. Looking elsewhere amongst Louisiana Tech athletics, Duncan Dawgs playing some really, really good basketball as they get closer and closer to concluding their non-conference schedule. They picked up two wins this week over Mississippi Valley State and Louisiana Lafayette. They had lost two straight games to the Cajuns before they went down to the Cajun Dome. And to put it nicely, they completely demolished the Cajuns by 21 points. Daquan Bracey was named Louisiana Sports Writers Player of the Week.
Being of the local in-state schools that Tech plays on a semi-regular basis, is there a victory sweeter than going down to the Cajun Dome and thumping them?
No, not at all.
You know, I mean, it's any sport. I guess not just Dome, Cajun Field, ballpark as well.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at the last time they met on the gridiron in 2014 and 2015, Tech controlled them easily those 2 years. And, you know, the basketball,
that's the one place they've had our number here the last few years.
Yeah, I think they've won four out of the last six now. I think that was a rivalry or a series that Mike White renewed and Coach Conkle has carried it on. So it was nice to go down there, pick up a big win, and then, obviously, you know, with Coach Goff, Coach Burrows has continued it. We're getting to see those two teams square off on the diamond as well. So, like you said, I don't think you could find, you know, within the state, a better rivalry that feels any better than especially going down to Lafayette and picking up a big road win down there. I know Sean mentioned it on the Sports Company. That's three road wins for Tech this year after going 1-11 on the road a year ago. And, you know, later in the show, I think it's 6:30, Coach Conkle was on the morning drive with Jake and Aaron this morning.
I'll say not just three road wins, but three wins really against teams that all played in the postseason last year.
Yeah, you talk about Wichita State, Stephen F. Austin, Stephen F. Austin, a team that ULM picked up a good win over over the weekend on Saturday afternoon in Monroe, and then going down to Lafayette, like you said, and beating those guys. And, you know, like I said, we'll have Coach Conkle. We'll replay his interview from Jake and Aaron this morning on the morning drive coming up at 6:30, and he'll talk a little bit about some of the success and, you know, some of the things that have led to the Duncan Dogs playing better on the road in the 2018-2019 season. Like I said, they got one remaining non-conference game. They will host Texas A&M Corpus Christi Saturday inside the Thomas Assembly Center as they look to close out the non-conference schedule at 10-3 overall, which, you know, Taze, if I told you before the year 10-3 in the non-conference, I'd have to say we'd be pretty satisfied with that.
I think so. And we were talking off air as we were wrapping up the sports company. It just, the Delaware trip, I scratched my head.
It's odd, yeah. And really, you know, the Greensboro loss wasn't as bad as the Delaware loss, but there's just not a whole lot of sense that can be made of the Delaware loss. And I know it was on Delaware's home floor, but that's a team that I think if they play today, Tech would be able to handle them
easily. Yeah, that's, you know, the back end of, use the NBA term, and, you know, a double.
Back-to-back, yeah.
Right, back-to-back, and on the road, a long road trip.
Yeah.
Hostile environment. Well, I don't know if you, hostile may be a little strong.
Still, a road game.
A true road game. It does feel like that they've washed it out of their system, though.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this team, you know, we talked a lot about last year, you know, dealing with so much adversity with the Jalen Harris transfer, the Daquan Bracey injury, Janiah White being forced to medically retire. This team has faced a good bit of adversity themselves. When you talk about Xavier Christian being out with a medical issue, you also got Derek Jean that's now out indefinitely with a shin injury that's, you know, really plagued him throughout. I think he's played 9 games this year. So this team is really learning how to win. And they're still a young team, and, you know, only one senior if you want to talk about Derek Jean as we watch UAB. First play of the game, 70-yard touchdown pass to take a 6-0 lead over Northern Illinois in the Boca Raton Bowl. But to finish my thought, Daquan Bracey, Louisiana Sports Writer Player of the Week for the second straight week, averaged 20 points, 6 assists, 2 steals. When Bracey's going well, this Tech team is really good. And, you know, we've heard from Coach Conklin. He said it on our show about a month ago that he knew his team could really shoot the basketball. And the last 3 games, I think Tech has scored over 50 points in the second half in all 3. Bracey is really doing a good job at penetrating into the lane, kicking out for 3-pointers. So it's good to see the Duncan Dogs playing so well. And then on the other side of the ball, the Lady Texters, what Brooke Storr is doing with this program is really good. I know they finished in the top 4 of Conference USA last year. They've picked up right where they left off. They picked up 2 home wins, a blowout win over Southeastern Wednesday night, then picked up a win Saturday afternoon against Ole Miss. That actually marks their 2nd SEC win of the year, having beat Alabama earlier this season. They're now 7-3 overall. Kiara Anthony, if you haven't gotten a chance to get out to the Thomas Assembly Center to see her play, it's her senior season. I think I saw today she's averaging 23 points per game, which ranks 7th nationally. I think she has the 4th most points scored over, you know, for a Lady Texter over the first 10 games. She's really carrying this team, and they're playing some good basketball right now.
I just sends me back to the Sheila Etheridge days.
Yeah. And Kiara, you know, Taves and I, we've got to see her growth, you know, from her freshman year to her senior year. She's just matured, it seems, year after year, and is really playing some good basketball. Lady Texters will be back in action Thursday night when they play in a neutral site against Missouri State. Then they'll play again Friday night against UMKC. That's the University of Missouri-Kansas City. I believe Missouri-Kansas City is actually hosting that little, round-robin tournament, whatever you want to call it. So looking at the Duncan Dogs, looking at the Lady Texters, they're playing some really good basketball. They'll both start up conference play December 29th. Like I said, we'll talk Duncan Dog Lady Texter basketball at 6:30. Replay the interview that Coach Conkle had on the morning drive this morning with Jake and Aaron. As always, you can call us. You can text us, Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. You know, with Christmas, New Year's quickly approaching, what's one thing that Louisiana Tech could give that would make your 2019 a dream come true? We want to hear from you. You can call us. You can text us, 888-993-7762. We'll read your answers on the air. Yes, we're talking to you, Robbie. It's game week. Call us. Give us your bet for the Hawaii Bowl game. If you can get some service down there in Chalmette, I don't know, maybe you're catching some reds on the Gulf of Mexico tonight. We'd love to hear from you, Robbie. But also, I think that, you know, outside of the bowl game, the big thing to talk about tonight is National Signing Day. National Signing Day 2019 is here, the early signing period. This will be the second year of the early signing period. I think I was looking at an article on Rivals today. Somewhere around 80% of prospects signed in that early period a year ago.
I was going to ask you here before we hit the break, just no specifics, the concept of two signing days. What do you think of that?
You know, I think, you know, and we talked about this a little bit last year, but I think, you know, it's a real positive when you look at it from a G5 perspective. A lot of times, you know, and I've talked to some Tech commits, and we'll talk about the commits, I believe, coming up at 6:40 or 7 o'clock when we really dive into recruiting. But, you know, you see so many times these kids that they just seem to get peddled along by these P5 programs, and then it gets to, you know, the old signing period on the first Wednesday in February, and they're like, well, man, we don't have a spot for you. And then you're left looking around. I think the early signing period has benefited kids in the fact that, you know, they can go ahead and lock their services in.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, and you can lock your services into Tech. You don't have to deal with all the coach speak. Yeah,
I don't think it hurts the P5. They're still going to get their guys.
No, it doesn't hurt the P5.
But it gives the G5 kind of a leg up to, like you said, go ahead and lock some of these guys in. And for the boys themselves, they can focus on whether they're wrapping up, you know, Texas, I think, has their state championships this week. So there's still guys playing high school football. They don't have to worry. They're done with that.
They're done with it.
They can get it out of the way. They can concentrate on their studies, or whether they play spring, you know, winter and spring sports, and be done with it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a perfect example, and we'll get to this, you know, like I said, at 7 o'clock, but Tech has a commit in Deshaun Hall, and it's to be determined if he'll sign in this early period. But if you look at the last couple of weeks, he's picked up an offer from Wisconsin, and he's picked up an offer from TCU. And, you know, I get it. Kids can have
You don't want to let him hang around to February.
Exactly. They string these kids along, and then, like you said, they might not have a spot. And I talked to a Tech recruit a couple of weeks ago, and he told me that he has a visit lined up for Florida State on January the 25th. And I'm like, it's December. It was about December the 10th when I talked to him. I'm like, it's clear you're a backup plan. They could easily, you know, you get to that.
Well, we got the infamous gray shirt.
Yeah, we'll bring you in. You can enroll in the winter. Or man, you know what? We don't have this spot open for you. I know you held out for two extra months, but we're not going to be able to take you. And that's, I get it. That's part of the business, but it's a dirty part of the business. And I think that's one area that has really benefited G5 programs, and Tech and their coaching staff have done a really nice job. 15 commitments to this point. I think the class ranks 74th in the country, according to Rivals.com, ranks number 2 in Conference USA. So with signing day coming up tomorrow morning, it'll be an interesting thing to see how the Tech coaches navigate an all-nighter in Hawaii with it being 4 hours early. I know Tech has
That is an interesting dynamic. You know, okay, everybody's scattered all over getting ready for bowl games the next few weeks. How many of them are having to do a signing day? I mean, do you fax it to Hawaii and then fax it back?
Yeah.
Because we're still faxing things.
Oh, yeah, and that's the crazy thing. You know, it's 2018 and we're still dialing up the fax machine. I know Tech has a couple of kids.
I mean, literally signing day is the only thing that I identify a fax machine with anymore.
Oh, absolutely. And Tech has a couple of kids on the East Coast. They'll be signing at like 7:30 Eastern time.
Hey, we got a fax. There will be coaches that have not gone to bed yet.
Oh, absolutely. And then you got to practice later in the day. You know, just a really interesting dynamic for the Tech coaching staff as they get ready for National Signing Day tomorrow morning from Honolulu, Hawaii. But anyway, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take our first time out. You can call us. You can text us, 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. When we come back, we're going to preview Tech Hawaii Bowl Saturday night. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Game day can be every day with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Whether you want to hit the links in the number one golf cart in the world, spend family time in your Easy Go multi-passenger cart, or work around the home or farm with a new Easy Go utility cart, Fairway Carts can make it happen. So make your weekend last all week long with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART. Or visit online at fairwaycarts.net.
DQ fans, manage your hanger before it manages you with the all-new DQ Hungry Up Deal. Your new hanger management system with three deals meant to satisfy any size appetite. Whether you're hungry-ish, hungry, or straight-up hangry, you can enjoy three, four, or five 100% all-white meat chicken strips, plus fries and a world-famous mini blizzard treat, starting at just $4. It's the all-new Hungry Up Deal, only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Louisiana is more than just a place to visit. It's our way of life, and that means being outdoors. Join the nearly 2 million people who camp, bike, paddle, and hike our state parks last year, as we invite you to do the same. Every corner of Louisiana has something to offer, from the world-class fishing at Toledo Bend to paddling at Fountainville to exploring the ancient mounds of Poverty Point World Heritage Site. So fill up your car and staycation right here in our home, Louisiana.
Sponsored by Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech Hawaii set to renew an old WAC rivalry Saturday night in the Hawaii Bowl. 8-5 Hawaii, 7-5 Louisiana Tech. Real quick to the text line, Quint. Jamar getting a seat on the bench is the gift that Skip could give me. Quint coming at you hard tonight. But, you know, I think most Tech fans would probably agree with Quint with the struggles that Jamar's had throughout the year. But here's to hoping that Jamar is able to put together his best performance of the season in the Hawaii Bowl, and Louisiana Tech can pick up not only their eighth win of the season, but also their fifth consecutive bowl win. And, you know, you look at this Hawaii team, Nick Rolovich is in his third year at the helm of the Warriors, 17-21 overall, went 7-7 in year one, 3-9 in year two, before bouncing back to go 8-5 this year. And I was looking at some of the betting lines for this game, and Tech actually opened up as a slight one-point favorite.
Really?
Which the line quickly jumped to a pick'em.
I wish I could have. I'd still take the pick'em.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, Tate, this will get you right here. Looking at Odds Shark earlier today, Hawaii is 0-15-1 in their last 16 games against the spread when they're favored. How crazy is that?
That is crazy, but... Man,
Tech 6-1 as a road dog.
Normally, I'd give them a touchdown. I think I got to give them 10 points for being on the islands.
Tech's never won on the island, and I get it. It's a different team.
This may not be the best team Tech sent out to the island.
Exactly.
Then again, they're not playing the best that Hawaii's put up against them during that time.
Yeah, Timmy Chang and Colt Brennan aren't walking through that.
Exactly,
door.
And the guy sitting behind, I guess Chang. And Nick, he's calling the shots now, and I'm starting to wonder if there may be a little animosity out there for Louisiana Tech, because...
I'll be honest, I think there is.
Because between you and our sports director here at 97.7, we haven't been able to get any kind of reached out. Tapes, hey, I've been go reaching, behind enemy line. No, they're not letting us behind enemy lines.
No, I've been reaching out for 3 weeks. I've emailed them. I've called them. I've texted. I've tweeted them. I've done everything to try to get on some people.
You know what
Hawaii.
You do about that? You go over there and you beat them by 3 touchdowns.
Exactly. You take care of your business on their home field, and you let them know that, you know, this isn't the whack of 2011, that our program has taken strides forward. And when you look at this Hawaii team, 8-5, like I mentioned, 5-3 in Mountain West Conference play this year, finished second in the West Division behind Fresno State, who actually wrapped up their season.
That's pretty respectable.
Yeah, and Fresno wrapped up their season 12-2 overall, one of their better seasons in program history. And when you look at some of the teams that Hawaii beat this year, they beat Colorado State that had 3 wins. They beat Navy, scored 59 points against a struggling Navy team on the island, beat Rice. That's really the only common opponent between the two teams. They beat Rice 43-29. I can't remember the Rice Tech score. I think it was somewhere around that 13-14 point mark as well. They beat Duquesne 42-21. They beat San Jose State on the road 44-41 in 5 overtimes. That's a 1-win San Jose State team. They beat a 6-6 Wyoming team. They beat UNLV 35-28. I'll have something in just a sec about that UNLV win that's pretty intriguing, especially when you look at Hawaii from a statistical scenario. And then they beat San Diego State to wrap up their regular season 31-30, and that was in overtime as well.
That's probably the plum win, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's the best win of the year at San Diego State.
Oh, that's a plum win for them.
Yeah, and Rocky Long has done a phenomenal job at San Diego State over the years. So just, you know, Tech catches a lot of flack for not beating winning teams. Hawaii finished 5-0 against teams that finished under 500. They finished 1-1 against teams that finished right at the 500 mark, Wyoming and BYU, 1-0 against an FCS, and then they were 1-4 against teams with a record greater than 500. I don't think anybody would sit here and say that Conference USA is on par with the Mountain West, but both conferences had 7 teams become bowl eligible. Take that for what it's worth. So looking at this Hawaii team, and you know, how do you beat these guys? Well, when you look at the statistics, it's going to be difficult because they can score the football. And what has Tech not done very well this year? Well, they haven't scored a whole lot. And so Hawaii comes into this game averaging 32 points per game, 440 yards per game. You look at Cole McDonald at quarterback, 39 total touchdowns, 8 interceptions, nearly 3,800 yards. I think he's got another 500 yards on the ground. Really dynamic at his quarterback spot. And I really got into breaking this down to see, you know, if Tech could match up with McDonald. And it's going to be a difficult matchup. But I looked at the UNLV box score, and McDonald was actually benched in that game for Chevin Cordero, who came in to throw 4 of 5, 153 yards, and 3 touchdowns to lead the Warriors back to that 35-28 win. And there's a lot of speculation that the true freshman Cordero will see playing time in this game, which seems pretty crazy when you look at how well McDonald played throughout the year. And, you know, McDonald, 67% of his yards come down the center of the field. And that tells me one thing. They're about to challenge the Tech linebackers, and they're going to challenge the Tech safeties. Now, Will Colin Scott, will Davon Washington, will Darryl Lewis and Jordan Baldwin at their safety spots be up for the challenge? I think that's probably my biggest key to the game, looking at this matchup. If Tech can't limit the yardage, you know, not only that John Ursua is going to get over the middle from his slot position, and he has 1,343 yards and 16 touchdowns this year, but they also have to limit the yards after the catch. And I think, you know, What's Blake Baker going to do from a defensive standpoint? It's easy to say that you're just going to let Jalen Ferguson pin his ears back and go after the quarterback, but then earlier this week, Rolovich says that they'll just cut Ferguson at his knees. And listen.
He said that publicly?
Yeah.
I mean, I
think it's a ploy.
Look, cut blocking, let's be honest, it's part of the game.
Well, yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
But That's like me saying, man, I'm going to hand check you all night.
Yep.
While I'm guarding you, riding you down the floor. Yep. Basketball.
Yep.
No, I'm not. to go out and do it's one thing, but
yeah, you can say it all you want, but and Ferguson even said,
of course, he may just be trying to plant a seed to get in somebody's head.
I think that's what he's trying to do, and they just double and triple him all night. I think that's what he's trying to do. I think he's trying to get in Ferguson's head to try to slow him down a little bit off that edge. And Ferguson said, you know, the other day after practice, he said, you know, he was asked the question, how can y'all slow Hawaii down? And he said, that's not what we're worried about. They have to slow me down first. And that's certainly the type of attitude that you like to hear from your All-American defensive end who is likely going to be a first-round pick. I think that's fair to say at this point in the draft process. You know, 23.5 tackles for loss, 15 sacks for Ferguson. I think that he is poised to have a really nice game. He needs 1.5 sacks for the record.
I think he gets it.
I do too. You know, especially when you consider that they're going to throw the ball 40, 45 times. They don't run the football. You know, they average 110 yards per game on the ground, and McDonald's getting 60 of those on scramble. So
you mentioned the linebackers. Is this a chance for Jackson to shine?
I think this is a game that you might even see James Jackson slide
inside. I bet he gets a pick.
I hope he does. Yeah, that would certainly be nice.
If they're running all the seam routes with linebackers, as you indicate, there's a good chance to get you something here.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that, you know, I talked about all the routes that they throw over the middle, and some of them, like you said, they're seam routes, long developing routes. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jackson slide into the middle, maybe Davon Washington play next to him, a little more athletic, a little better in pass coverage, maybe Colin Scott come off the field, see a little more nickel coverage, Ephraim Kitchen come on the field, maybe Zach Hannibal at cornerback, Mike Sam, Amik slide inside to the nickelback role to go against John Ursua, who I mentioned earlier, and just kind of shadow him throughout the night. And I just remember back to the bowl game a year ago when Amik had Cortland Sutton on an island all night long, and he just wanted the football thrown his way, and he had one heck of a night on his way to being named the Frisco Bowl Defensive MVP. So hopefully we see a performance like that out of him on Saturday night. And, you know, looking at Tech offensively, what is Tech going to be able to do against the Hawaii defense? Well, this Hawaii defense, we've seen Hawaii. We know what they are. They're the run and shoot offensively. They're not going to play a ton of great defense. They're going to be a little undersized. I think this is a golden opportunity for Tech to be able to run the football with some success. Jaquese Dancy's healthy, as healthy as he's been in, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. Now, Tech's going to be missing two key offensive players. O'Shea Dugas will be out for this game. Rashid Bonnet will be out for this game. As far as players that, you know, might be out, in addition to those guys, you can join us at bleedtechblue.com for only $9.95 a month for the latest. But I think this is an opportunity for Tech to really run the football, kind of get the tempo, get the flow of the game in their hands. And, you know, Tapes, we've seen it throughout the year. It seems like every time Tech plays, the opponent scores a touchdown on their first drive. Tell me if I'm crazy. I want Tech to take the football to start the game to try to get some early momentum.
I kind of like that mindset, and I'd really – you know, I want to see 200 yards rushing.
And, you know, we said it last week. What did we say, about 250 was our prediction, I think?
I'm not going to go that far, but
– if we get 200 yards rushing, we'll be in a good spot.
150 will make it – we'll get to where I want, right, yeah, where I'm wanting to go and control the clock. But I think 200 really establishes that you not only tried to run the ball, but you succeeded as well.
Absolutely. And then, you know, I think the big, you know, obviously the elephant in the room is Jamar Smith. You know, how will he play in this game? And, you know, earlier this week, Holt said that it's time that, you know, we've seen him. I think he's made, what, 12 starts, 26 career starts. It's time for things to translate from the practice field to the game atmosphere, and if it doesn't, it's time for another quarterback to get in there. And Holt said that he will not hesitate to put another quarterback in there if that's what it takes to ultimately figure out a spark or a light a fire under this team as they try to pick up their fifth straight bowl game. So hopefully Jamar can continue his chemistry with Adrian Hardy. Teddy Veal is expected to return after missing the Western Kentucky game with a hamstring injury. And so hopefully Tech's clicking on all cylinders offensively, because I think it's going to take 35, maybe 40 points to win this football game on Saturday night. So that's really our breakdown. Louisiana Tech, Hawaii, 9:30 p.m. kickoff Saturday night inside Aloha Stadium on the campus of the Hawaii Warriors. You can join us, BleedTechBlue.com, only $9.95 a month. We'll have coverage throughout the week. We're going to go ahead, take our next time out. When we come back from the break, we'll talk some Dunkin' Dog basketball. You're listening, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. Service and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Teal and staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studios by our producer, John Tabor. Quick update on the Boca Raton Bowl. UAB 10, Northern Illinois 0. Game looks like it's about halfway through the first quarter of play. So in the last segment, we broke down Louisiana Tech versus Hawaii. In this segment, we'll talk some Dunkin' Dog basketball. I mentioned in the open, Dunkin' Dogs hosted Mississippi Valley State and went on the road at ULL this week. Picked up two big wins to move to 9-3 overall. Earlier today, Coach Conkle joined the guys at the morning drive for an interview to talk a little bit about the Dunkin' Dogs' hot stretch of late.
Coach, how you been?
Doing great. Doing great. How are you, Aaron?
It's been a while. We certainly look forward to talking and visiting with you throughout the season. Before we get into a couple big wins for you guys, I got to ask you, you a Saints fan, or I see you more of a Packers fan considering where you grew up. Am I right?
Well, I definitely have some Packer heritage in history. I'm always cheering for the Packers, but you know, being here 4 years now, there's no question that we're rooting for the Saints.
Well done. Louisiana Tech, of course, a huge win. You go down to Lafayette and you take care of business. First of all, overall, what did you think of that performance to go into a Cajun Dome where the Cajuns had won 21 of its last 22 games before you guys made an appearance there?
Well, it was a game that we were excited to play. Of course, long, long-standing history and rivalry with Louisiana Lafayette. You know, a game that we've had some really close games and great games in the last few years. And it was one that we had to play well. We knew that we were going to play against a very fast, hard-playing team. And our defense really set the tone for us. And then in the second half, we were able to get loose from the three-point line and extend the lead and keep that lead. So it was a great win for us on the road, no question.
How can you explain the success that you guys have had on the road this year compared to how much you guys struggled last year? I mean, you got some marquee wins on the road. You go to Wichita State, you win. You go to Stephen F. Austin, pick up that one, now ULL. What has been the biggest difference from last year to this year for road games?
Well, I think a big part of it, Aaron, is we're older, and we've got a lot of guys that experienced those close losses last year. We were playing four freshmen, really most of conference play last year, and having done that, those guys have experienced so much, and you can practice, you can watch video, but game experience and those types of trials and tribulation can be the greatest teacher. So we've got a group of guys that are very motivated. They want to do extremely well. They've been through so many different situations now, even though we have just one senior in Derek Jean, and he's out right now with an injury. But those sophomores and juniors have been through a lot, and I just think that that experience has helped them prevail in these road games so far.
You got a great tradition after a road victory. You find the closest ice cream shop, and you all go enjoy some ice cream. How did that start, and now do you have a certain flavor that you go to and have every single time?
You know, it started our first year here, and I think it happened just kind of, you know, we were driving along, and, you know, I was like, all right, I just told the bus driver, hey, let's stop over here. And it was after a great road win. I think it was at Southern Miss, maybe. And then all of a sudden we just started it, and then we went again on the road, and one of the players said, hey, Coach, we're going to get some ice cream. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And then it just steamrolled. But I'm typically, you know, we go to some of these places where they'll make the ice cream, they'll mash it up with a couple ingredients, and I think this last time I went with some Oreos, strawberries, and vanilla all smashed together, and it was, I tell you what, it tasted good after this last one.
For sure. Daquan Bracey continues to get it done. For the second week in a row, he's the Louisiana Sports Writers Player of the Week. What can you say about the performances he continues to turn in? It feels like, I mean, his career has been spectacular at Louisiana Tech. He's taken it another notch this season.
He has, and he's become very, very efficient. You know, he got off to a great start with a win against Wichita State, but sprained his ankle at the end of that one, and then, you know, missed a couple games and took a little bit of time to get his rhythm back. But in the last few games, I think from a defensive standpoint, too, he's really stepped up and provided some leadership in setting our defense up top. And then, you know, his turnover, his assist-to-turnover ratio is strong. He's shooting the basketball well, and he's playing like an upperclassman. And that's really what we need, and he's been able to deliver on that.
You mentioned a few minutes ago you guys are still dealing with the injury from Derek Jean, an injury that lingers on from last year. What's his status, and how does that change your guys' lineup moving forward?
Well, it's changed just a good bit. You know, with Derek and then also Xavier Christian's been out, both those guys have started games for us. And, of course, Derek has started for most of his career. But, you know, it's a next man up mentality. It changes us in a way where we're not as deep in the guard play. Jacoby Pemberton, who has played a lot of three and four for us, is now starting at the three, and he's really, really done a nice job over the last several games in stepping up his production. Anthony DeRuggi, who's been mostly a power forward for us in our style, has gone to some small forward. So we've gone to a different lineup. We've changed a little bit, and we're going to have to continue to evolve as the season progresses until these guys get healthy.
You guys are back in action Saturday at home at the Thomas Assembly Center. Texas A&M Corpus Christi comes in. Give us a little bit of a scouting report on them.
Well, they're a really hard-playing team and really well-coached. Coach Wilson is, I think one of the really good ones in college basketball. He's been doing it a long time. And they've got some youth on their team. They've got some flexibility. They switch a lot of screens. They're a really gritty defensive team. It got an interesting week. They're playing tonight and Thursday before coming here on Saturday, wow, where we've got this whole week to kind of get healthy. But I expect a team that's going to play really, really hard, and they really share it on offense. And it'll be a great game for our fans to come out and watch here right before the holidays.
Conference play right around the corner. What needs to continue to improve on this defense to get you guys ready on this team overall?
Well, the first thing for us, Aaron, is we've got to be consistent defensively, and it's something that we've been working on, and I thought that we did some really nice things in our game at Lafayette, and we want to be able to continue that. We talk all the time that being great is being consistently good, not exceptional one night and then below average the next. We need to have consistency with our defense. We want to continue to share the ball offensively, execute even better in the half court. But we've got a lot of things to work on, and thankfully we've got a group of guys that enjoy coming to practice every day and trying to get better. So we're going to try to do that very thing today.
Eric Conkle, congratulations on the win versus the Raging Cajuns. We look forward to seeing you guys in action Saturday at the Thomas Assembly Center against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Appreciate the time, bud.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Good stuff from Coach Conkle, and thanks to the guys on the morning drive, Aaron and Jake, for allowing me to use their audio tonight. Dunkin' Dogs, like Coach Conkle mentioned, playing really well. Three road wins this year after only winning one road game a year ago. And, you know, one thing that I've been thinking about is, you know, they had the Costa Rica trip earlier, you know, before the season got underway. It grants you 10 additional practices, have an opportunity to get out of the country and really develop some team chemistry. And it really seems to be paying off. And it just seems like, you know, so many guys on this team have really come together and have really started to mesh. And that's really what it takes in college basketball. And we see so many times this, you know, especially in this day and age where it's a sport that's driven by individuals. And, you know, when you come tournament time in late March, early April, if you're fortunate enough to get into the NCAA tournament and make a little bit of a run, and you're a mid-major, you know, Gonzaga's not throwing out first-round picks year after year after year. You know, Stephen F. Austin, when they made their few runs, they weren't throwing first-round picks into the NBA draft. It's all about coming together as a team and really getting some things done from a team perspective. And so, you know, when you look at this Tech team, and that's what it is. It's a team, and you have, you know, looking down some of the scoring numbers, you know, Bracey's averaging 13 points per game. DeRuzzi averaging 12 points per game. Christian, 12 points per game before he got hurt. Amari Archibald, 11 points per game. Oliver Powell, 10.6 points per game. Derek Jean, 9 points per game. Jacoby Pemberton, 9 points per game. And Pemberton's a guy I want to take a second to talk a little bit about. And he's, if you haven't had a chance to watch Tech basketball this year, he's quickly becoming my favorite player to watch. It just seemed, you know, a year ago he was a redshirt freshman coming off an ACL injury, and now, and he didn't get to play, you know, regular minutes night in and night out, and he probably got frustrated a little bit, and that's understandable, but he comes back as a sophomore. You know, he's played in all 12 games. He started recently since Gene went out with injury. Like I said, 9 points per game. And then he's chipping in another 4.5 or 5 rebounds per game, shooting 37% from three, 70% at the free throw line, 59% from the field. It's just the sign of a player maturing as a sophomore, really understanding what his role is, you know, for Tech offensively and defensively. And I think you look back at the ULL game the other night, he has 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and he only shot the ball 5 times. Well, if a guy's not having to shoot a bunch and he's scoring 14 points, he's playing really efficient basketball, which is really, you know, not only allowing his teammates to do more things, but it's allowing the team to score at a more efficient rate as well, which has helped lead to this 9-3 record. Rashawn Langston, 7 points per game, and then Mo Muhammad, 6 points and 4 rebounds per game. So this team's really coming together. They're playing really their best basketball that they've played all year. Winners of 5 straight, 6-0 at home. Like I mentioned, they'll host Texas A&M Corpus Christi Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. in the Thomas Assembly Center for the final non-conference tilt of the year before kicking off conference play at home December the 29th. I believe that's the same day as the college football playoff gets underway. Tip-off is set for 4 p.m. against Southern Miss. You know, that's a game they'll only play one game in that week, as Southern Miss is kind of that the travel school. Generally, Tech and Southern Miss take the same trips. They just play in different spots on Thursday and Saturdays. And then January 3rd, they'll hit the road for North Texas and Rice. Those are their first 3 conference games of the year. And like I said, we'll try to get Coach Conkle on before conference play gets underway. I know our next show is scheduled after the new year, so they'll have played maybe a couple of conference games at that point, but we'll work to get Coach Conkle on. Just looking at some of the other records across Conference USA. North Texas is 10-1. Florida International is 8-2. Old Dominion's 8-3. Just picked up a huge road win at Syracuse inside the Carrier Dome. Southern Miss 7-3. Dusty May, former Tech assistant, doing a great job at Florida Atlantic. They're 7-3. We know how good Dan D'Antoni's team is at Marshall. They're 7-4. John Elmore is probably the favorite to win Conference USA Player of the Year. You look at UAB, just lost in overtime at home to number 8 Auburn. They're 6-4 overall. Western Kentucky's 5-5. Rick Stansbury, we've seen some of the recruiting classes that he's put together in recent years. They'll certainly be a factor in conference play. So really, all in all, when you look at Conference USA basketball, and this is not a slight at, you know, the Speedy Smith teams, the Raheem Appleby teams of, you know, five or six years ago now, but Conference USA seems to establish a better balance across the board, and we'll see if the new Conference USA scheduling pod late in conference play is able to elevate a couple more, or able to elevate the league into a multi-bid league come conference or come NCAA tournament time. So if you got a chance, get out to the Thomas Assembly Center, 4 p.m. tip-off against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Duncan Dogs playing some really good basketball. Daquan Bracey leading his team as the veteran on that team as a junior, along with Oliver Powell. So that's all we got for Duncan Dog basketball. When we come back from the break, we'll take a little bit of a early look at how Conference USA has fared in their bowl games, what to expect in the Final Four or Final Three bowl games as UAB is currently in action, and what the conference needs to do to improve their national standing, you know, when you look at them from a national perspective. So we'll be right back after the break. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Get more fun out of everything you do with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. For years, Fairway Carts has been this area's choice for EasyGo gas or electric golf carts, multi-passenger carts, rugged utility carts for work, and EasyGos for hunting too. With a full line of accessories and expert service department, Fairway Carts delivers it all. Come by the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Bowl season is underway, and it has not got off to the greatest of starts for Conference USA. Real quick before we get into things, text on the Fairway Carts text line from Ben. Cam gets 100 yards on the island. He has been given this goal by me. Taves, if Cam McKnight runs for 100 yards against Hawaii, that will certainly be fun to watch, because he's a player that I think he understands his bruising role and will be busting through tackles throughout the night.
That would be a unexpected treat.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, if Tech gets 250 yards in this game, say Cam and Jaquise go for over 100 yards, Tech's going to win the football game.
What's the status on Tucker?
He's ready to roll. He's ready to roll
as
well.
Give me 75 or 80 from all three of them.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Mix
a little
in
three-headed monster.
10 to 12
run
carries.
The wishbone, Skip. Come on.
Yeah, mix in a little wishbone action.
You think I'm kidding?
Hey, might not be a bad idea. See if we can just dominate them at the point of attack.
Just play ugly smash-mouth football.
Old-school football, yes. Which we don't see unless you're talking about a military academy in these days. So looking at Conference USA's bowl season, obviously six teams were selected for bowl games. When you look at North Texas, Middle Tennessee State, Conference USA champion UAB, Marshall, Florida International, and Louisiana Tech. Tech will actually get to play in the last bowl game of the conference season for Conference USA on Saturday night. So North Texas, Utah State kick things off on December 15th. And I know, I get it, Mason Fine went down with an injury, but I think this performance against Utah State, and don't take any credit away from Utah State, but I believe they are playing with like four coaches, and two or three were GAs on the sideline. So it wasn't exactly like they were full strength as well. They beat North Texas 52-13, just absolutely demoralized the Mean Green. And get this, everybody's golden boy in the conference, Seth Luttrell, I believe he's making $1.4 million, highest paid coach in Conference USA. And, you know, the text line might blow up telling me that, you know, bowl games don't matter. Well, how would you feel if your team was 0-3 in bowl games under Luttrell, losing by three touchdowns a year? I don't think that would be the most satisfying way to end your season each year if you're a North Texas fan. So I get it. Mason Fine will be back for his senior year. North Texas will be a force to be reckoned with. But for the time being, they finished 9-4, lost to, you know, Louisiana Tech, obviously, blow a huge lead at Old Dominion. And then they close out their season with a loss at Utah State. And I know they also had a loss to UAB in there as well. So I would say mixed results for Coach Luttrell, especially when you consider how the season wrapped up. And then looking to Saturday night, Middle Tennessee traveled down to the New Orleans Bowl to take on Appalachian State. That's an App State team that – Taves, how would you describe App State? I just feel like they're just consistent. You know, every year, it doesn't matter who's coaching, who's at quarterback. It just feels like 10 wins.
They fly under the radar.
And it's not an easy place to win at.
No, it's not an easy place to get to.
No. And you know, they just win.
I'm trying to think of somebody comparable. You know what? Kind of obviously on the G5 level, but sort of like how Bill Snyder would do at Pecan State. Where
exactly.
You never really noticed them, and every now and then they may crack the polls, but it seemed like just consistently 8-4, 9-5, maybe a 7-6, back to 8-5.
Yep, just
and
win.
they just
win.
Built a solid program, and you know, App State. There's no doubt that they parlayed that and went over Michigan into bigger and better things.
Took advantage of it.
And hats off to a university that kind of figured it out.
Yeah, more power to them. They're doing a great job. They finished their 2018 season 11-2 overall. Obviously, they won the Sun Belt. Like I said, 45-13 over Middle Tennessee. That's a Middle Tennessee team that I know Rick Stockstill, after the Conference USA Championship, there was a lot of rumors swirling around that he was going to retire now that his son Brent has graduated, but haven't seen anything come out on that front yet. So it'll be interesting offseason in Murfreesboro. Middle Tennessee wraps up their season 8-6 overall. You know, like I said, go 8-4.
Have you seen a lot? What's the line on that?
No, Middle Tennessee lost 45-13. No, you're good. You're good. But yeah, and so they wrapped up their season with a loss to UAB as well as a loss to Appalachian State. They'll obviously replace Stockstill in the offseason. So maybe a little bit of a rebuilding year when you look at the Blue Raiders next year. They will obviously not be on Tech's schedule. Elsewhere, obviously, UAB, Northern Illinois facing off tonight in the Boca Raton Bowl. Bill Clark won Conference USA Championship this year. They're looking for their 11th win of the season as they currently lead Northern Illinois 10-7. The second quarter is just underway. Marshall, South Florida, Gasparilla Bowl Thursday night, 7 p.m. This is a game that really has some intrigue. You look at what Doc Holliday has done over the years at Marshall. I think I saw a statistic today that they have one of the top 10 winningest G5 programs since 2014. So obviously have to give him some credit for the things he's done at Marshall. And then you look at South Florida and Charlie Strong. Sorry, name escaped me. You know, they start off to a hot start, 5-0, before losing. I believe they lost their last five games to finish. They might have started 7-0 to lose their last five games and finish 7-5, which is certainly a disappointing season. But those two teams are two of the top 10 winningest programs in the G5 since 2014. Florida International, they'll face off with Toledo, 11:30 a.m. kickoff Friday afternoon in the Bahamas Bowl. Toledo's the third winningest program in the G5 since 2014 with 46 wins against 18 losses. Interesting story came out, to, I believe it was last week, about Florida Atlantic. Shondarius Phillips actually played the entire season with an arrest warrant out for him, which is, I don't know, it's pretty crazy to me. Interesting that he was able to play throughout the year, but we'll be interested to see if Butch Davis catches some heat for that one. But, you know, Tech obviously facing off with Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl to round out Conference USA bowl games for 2018. And I really, you know, looking into 2019, and I said this after about week three or four, that Conference USA was the worst conference in the FBS. And, I mean, 52-13 loss to Utah State and a 45-13 loss for Middle Tennessee at App State. I'm right. It's the worst conference in FBS, and I think it's gut check time when you look ahead to 2019. The conference has to really do some things to figure out what they're going to do to, I'm not going to say become an upper echelon G5 league, but they have to figure out a way to become more competitive, especially in these bowl games. And I know guys can't get up for them all the time, but they have to figure out a way to get up for these games and play well, especially against some peer competition in the Mountain West and in the Sun Belt. So before we go to a break, I don't know if, you know, some of our listeners out there caught this, but Tech's conference opponents from the other side of the league were announced at the end of last week for the cross-division matchups that Tech will face. They will go on the road at Marshall, and they will host Florida International. And we've talked about it time and time again how it's real convenient that Tech always seems to end up with the more difficult teams from the eastern side, and that's no different when you look at 2019. And I have a theory, and let me explain my theory a little bit, and tell me what you think of this, Tapes. We talk a lot about what it's going to take for Tech to get to that next level, and they also obviously have to increase things from a budget perspective. Do you think sometimes Conference USA says, you know what, Louisiana Tech's 12th or 13th from a budget perspective, who cares who they want to play from the other side, or who cares if they get a home game after Thanksgiving or not when their students are out of town? I mean, it certainly feels like the conference could kind of push you off a little bit if you're not creating them a tremendous amount of revenue on a yearly basis.
Well, I'm just skeptical about Conference USA to begin with. It would make sense. I think it's just more of a matter of,
they don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
It could be that.
That is, I mean, are they still based out of Birmingham?
Well.
Yeah, well.
We'll leave it at that. And just looking at Louisiana Tech's schedule for 2019 in total, they'll open the season in non-conference play on the road at Texas August 31st before returning home September the 7th to take on the G-Men, Grambling State, inside Joe Ice Stadium. That should be one heck of an atmosphere. I know Grambling will bring a tremendous amount of fans. Then they'll go back on the road September the 14th to play at Bowling Green. That's a struggling program out of the MAC. And then they'll wrap up non-conference play October the 19th. That'll actually be in the middle of conference play, I believe, when they host UMass. So, you know, three winnable non-conference games, which is something I think that most of us have been panning for. Hopefully can get to a point where it's just one Power 5 opponent year in and year out. And then looking at the Conference USA home slate, they'll host North Texas, they'll host Southern Miss, UTSA, and as I mentioned earlier, Florida International. As far as the road games, they'll go on the road at Rice, on the road at UAB, on the road at UTEP, and then at Marshall as well. So pretty, you know, really good schedule. I think Tommy McClellan deserves some credit for the job that he did with the non-conference schedule and getting Tech some formidable opponents from peer conferences to face off with. And then you talk about road games at Rice, at UTEP as well. Those should be winnable games. You know, you have a home game with UTSA, and then you have to figure out a way to get that demon off your back and be able to beat Southern Miss at home if Tech wants to ultimately get over that hump and start winning 10 games in a season, which we all long for. So we're going to go ahead and take another timeout. When we come back, we'll talk a little Croton. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Thielen staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
DQ fans, manage your hanger before it manages you with the all-new DQ Hungry Up Deal. Your new hanger management system with three deals meant to satisfy any size appetite. Whether you're hungry-ish, hungry, or straight-up hangry, you can enjoy three, four, or five 100% all-white meat chicken strips, plus fries and a world-famous mini blizzard treat, starting at just $4. It's the all-new Hungry Up Deal, only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubak Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. National Signing Day 2019 early period opens up tomorrow morning. Louisiana Tech currently has 15 commitments. Number 2 class in Conference USA. Number 74 class overall in the country, according to Rivals.com. Earlier this week, when you look at things from a recruiting perspective, Tech was able to add two key commitments. First commitment being Charvis Thornton, three-star athlete. I think he's expected to play cornerback from the Bulldogs. Committed to Tech last Wednesday afternoon. He played his high school football at Southern Lab in Baton Rouge. Thornton is rated as the 71st best athlete in the country, number 30 recruit in the state of Louisiana, certainly the best recruit that Tech has from a state perspective when you look at it from Rivals. Some of the offers that Thornton has in addition to Louisiana Tech has an offer from Arkansas in the SEC, Colorado in the Pac-12, Kansas in the Big 12, Memphis in the AAC also has an offer from Oregon State in the Pac-12, and then his final offer is from Arkansas State in the Sun Belt. So you look at that, you know, four Power 5 offers out of his seven offers that were on the table. Certainly a big get for Coach Holtz and his staff to land Thornton, and I know they're excited to get him on campus to continue building that defensive backfield that seems to really have improved over the previous really 2 or 3 years under Blake Baker's leadership, excuse me, at defensive coordinator. When you look at the likes of, you know, a Legarius Sneed, a Meek Robertson, I know Zach Hannibal from Ouachita is only a sophomore, expected to be a pretty good player down the road. You know, landing Derek Turner a season ago from West Feliciana, one of the bigger gets in that class. B.J. Williamson out of West Mesquite in Dallas, two safeties. They're expected to do big things as well. So Tech continues to add to the defensive backfield, and Thornton was a big part of that and will be one of the bigger gets for Tech in this recruiting class when he signs tomorrow morning. The other get, which will be some welcoming news for Tech fans, quarterback Jackson Thompson, three-star out of Lake Highlands in the Dallas area. Thompson, 6'3", 200 pounds, listed as a pro-style quarterback, but I would beg to differ, can really use his legs. His senior season at Lake Highlands, threw for 2,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, added another 600-plus yards on the ground, another 7 touchdowns. He ultimately chose Louisiana Tech last Wednesday over Tulane. He actually visited Tulane before the weekend prior to committing to Louisiana Tech. When you look at some of Thompson's offers, you know, Akron out of the MAC, Florida Atlantic from the Conference USA, New Mexico State, Stephen F. Austin, Syracuse from the ACC, Tulane from the AAC. Actually, you know, Syracuse was in his top three along with Tech and Tulane. So a big get for the Bulldogs. Thompson will actually be here for spring practice, which certainly goes a long way in creating some competition at that position for the Bulldogs as they prepare to, you know, maybe open some things up at that position as we head into 2019. When you look at Jackson Thompson, the redshirt freshman Aaron Allen, obviously Weston Elliott and Jamar Smith will also be competing for the job as well. And, you know, you talk about Thompson being here for the spring. What will a quarterback competition do for the program? And I think that, you know, as much as so many people, you know, myself included at times, gives Jamar a hard time, and, you know, sometimes obviously he deserves it, but looking back at Jamar's progression from when he signed at Louisiana Tech to becoming the starting quarterback, he really didn't face a whole lot of competition at that position. And excuse me, text on the text line from Bill. B.J. Williamson's from Mesquite Horn, not West Mesquite. My mistake. B.J. Williamson, Mesquite Horn. But yet, so you talk about Jamar's progression to the quarterback. You know, Jack Abraham transfers out, Price Wilson transfers out, and then Tech's left scrambling for a quarterback, and they end up bringing in Weston Elliott late in that summer before last season, the 2017 season. So Jamar was never really put into a quote-unquote quarterback competition. So would that have made him a better player? Who knows? You know, there's no easy answer to that. There's no way of determining if that would have made him a better player to truly have to battle it out for the starting quarterback position. But looking ahead to the spring, I think that the quarterback room, and, you know, Elijah Walker transfers out this past fall camp, so now the quarterback room is replenished, so to speak. You got Jamar as a senior, Elliott's a junior, Allen's a redshirt freshman, and then you'll have Jackson Thompson as a true freshman. So you got four scholarship quarterbacks on campus, and it will truly allow for more of a competition, not only this spring, but into the fall. And not only do we hope that it makes Jamar better if he's the starter once again next year, which if you had to ask me at this point, I would think he certainly has a leg up, but it's going to make all the other three guys much better as well, as they get to get, you know, an even amount of reps throughout the spring and into the summer and into the fall before preparing for the 2019 season. So that's kind of where I stand on the quarterback competition. But I think grabbing Thompson late in the process, you know, you look at most quarterbacks, they try to get things taken care of early. Tech was fortunate to find Thompson out of Lake Highland in Dallas and be able to bring him in. And hopefully, you know, if not next year, but in the future, he'll be able to compete for the job and potentially be a starting quarterback at Tech in the future. some other highlights on Tech's commitment list as we head into National Signing Day. Alan Walker, outside linebacker from Milton, Georgia. Yes, Tech dipped their toes into Milton, Georgia to land the talented Walker, who ranks as the 41st best outside linebacker in the country. He's Tech's highest-ranked recruit. Brother of former Tech defensive back Keyston Walker had one heck of a senior season, did Allen. 80 tackles, 30 tackles for loss, 13 sacks, 20 quarterback hurries. Getting him on campus is big. And I have a little piece out on him. I did a nice feature on him today on Bleed Tech Blue. He is expected to sign tomorrow morning, 7:30 Eastern time, I do believe. So it'll be nice when he gets on campus, adds a pass-rushing element as Tech will look to replace the outgoing star, Jalen Ferguson. One other name I want to mention, Kyle Maxwell, 6'3", 185-pound receiver out of Amite High School in Amite, Louisiana, 46th-ranked player in the state of Louisiana. I think Maxwell is going to add a new element to this Tech offense. You know, a bigger receiver at 6'3", whereas most of Tech's receivers are around 6', you know, 6'1". At this point, Maxwell also had offers from Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Memphis, Tennessee, Tulane, and Tulsa. So an impressive offer list for Maxwell. So those are kind of the four names I wanted to highlight, obviously, with the commitments of Charvis Thornton and Jackson Thompson this week. Two big gets in the class. So what to expect for tomorrow? Well, first things first, join us, bleedtechblue.com, only $9.95 a month. We'll have up-to-the-minute updates, not only throughout the morning, but throughout the day as well, as I, you know, catch up with most of these kids and their reaction once they finally have signed on the dotted line. How many guys will Tech sign tomorrow? Well, to be determined. You can join us, bleedtechblue.com. Like I said, $9.95 a month. I think Tech will sign around 11 or 12 of their 15 commitments. You'll have three or four end up waiting to the late signing period. And I don't think that, you know, for the most part, these are guys that are not committed, so to speak. But, you know, there's some logistical things to work through. There's some kids that they want to sign with the rest of their teammates when they sign in February. You know, you always have that one person that gets in a player's ear and says, hey, man, you should wait out for this Power 5 offer. You know, Tech commitment, defensive end, defensive tackle, Deshaun Hall could be one of those examples. He's picked up a Wisconsin offer, and he's also picked up a TCU offer late in the process. So he could be a guy that waits to sign until the late signing period in hopes of, you know, a spot opening up at a P5 program. So all in all, I think it's, you know, everything's supposed to run pretty smoothly. The quarterback, Jackson Thompson, will sign at 7:30. Michael Clark, defensive end out of Crowley, Texas, will sign at 8. Like I said, I got all these guys on the website. I have all the times that they're expected to sign as well. So join us, bleedtechblue.com, and should be a really successful day for Coach Holtz and his staff on the recruiting trail as they continue their preparations in Honolulu for the Hawaii Bowl. So that'll do it for our recruiting talk. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take one final timeout. When we come back from the break, have a relatively short segment. We'll make our score predictions. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Final segment of 2018, that is correct. We will not have a show next week on Christmas Day. We will also not have a show on New Year's Day as well. 17 episodes into Season 11. We're having a great time bringing you a show week in and week out. We'll be back live and on the air on January the 8th before we really get to not only break down some late recruiting period, we'll also dive in deeper on Dunkin' Dog basketball as well. Excuse me. So looking at this Tech-Hawaii Bowl Saturday night, December 22nd, 9:30 p.m. kickoff, some keys to the game for the Bulldogs. I think the most important thing offensively, it seems like I've been beating it like a dead horse year in and, or week in and week out, getting Jamar in a rhythm early on, allowing him to get some confidence so that he's on the same page with both Teddy Veal and Adrian Hardy will allow for Tech to do some things through the air. And then, you know, the offensive line has to obviously open some holes in the run game if Tabes and I are going to get to our goal of 200-plus yards on the ground. So hopefully we can see that for Louisiana Tech. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think that the big key for Tech is you have to be able to slow down Cole McDonald in the Hawaii passing game. Will you ever be able to completely stop it? I don't believe so. But if you can limit the big chunk plays that are 20 yards or more, I think Tech will have an opportunity to be right in this football game come the fourth quarter. So how big is it to get a fifth straight bowl game or fifth straight bowl win? I think it's pretty big for the program as you look to continue enhancing the program and having it take steps forward. Especially heading into 2019 and into the late signing period as well. So, National Signing Day tomorrow. Join us, BleedTechBlue.com, only $9.95 a month. We're your number one source for Louisiana Tech athletics. Before we get out of here, go ahead and make my score prediction. Let me see here. You know, as we mentioned, the game's about a pick 'em right now. I'm going to go ahead and say that I'll take Tech 33, Hawaii 27. Tech 33, Hawaii 27. Tabes, what you got for your score prediction?
I want, my heart says the Dogs squeeze one out, but the head says 37-31 Hawaii.
All right, you heard it. I got 33-27 Tech. Tabes has 37-31 Hawaii. Should be a fun one Saturday night in Honolulu. Like I said, 9:30 p.m. kickoff. No shows the next 2 weeks on Christmas and New Year's Day. We will return January the 8th. Hopefully Beck is back better than ever. We appreciate you listening. For John Tabor, I'm Ben Carlisle. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
Coaching for 2.5 years. Hugh Jackson went 3-36-1. Greg Williams has gone 4-2. That's wild to think about.
Outkick to coverage with Clay Travis.
Weekday
6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific
on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, let's go, champs!
It's the NFL.
Tomorrow, let's go!
And week 15 is in the books.
Trubisky fires in the open end zone, looks like. Burton's got it for the touchdown, Bears!
Empty set for Ben again. He fires it for the end zone.